We're looking at the lies about circumstances. And this really, like I said last week, covers a lot of the ground that we've covered, but it's good just to look at it. The first lie that we looked at last week was, if my circumstances were different, I would be different. And believe me, that lie is believed all the time. If this would just change, if I could go there, if I could have this house or whatever, we think that then we would be happy and everything would go well. And that is certainly a lie. And we looked at that. And then, that's exactly right. Yeah, every circumstance, whether, whatever the origin of it, God uses it for our good. And so it's very helpful to get a hold of that. It's great peace, by the way, that comes when you truly believe that. The second one is, I shouldn't have to suffer. And that is, our culture really does think that way, the good life. And so when things bad happen, it's a tragedy instead of something that we embrace. And so there's a lot of folks that really hold to that. And a couple of things I mentioned on that point, just in the way of review, is God is more intent on our holiness than our immediate temporal happiness. He knows that apart from being holy, we can never be truly happy. That was a very important statement. And then, true joy is not the absence of pain, but the sanctifying, sustaining presence of the Lord Jesus in the midst of pain. And it's, you know, sometimes we don't really believe it, but some of the people that are the most joyful do have some of the worst circumstances, because they've learned where true joy comes from, and it's not from things going the way they want. Remember, the only reason we're unhappy is we're selfish. We're not walking in the Spirit. We don't have the fruit of the Spirit. And so the minute we're focused on self, then everything becomes gloomy. And we really we're distorted in our view of life. All right, now let's move to the two lies today that we will cover. And that goes along with these other twos. My circumstances will never change. This will go on forever. There's two angles to this. She covers one angle, I'm going to cover another angle. But the perspective on a very difficult situation in life has to be helped by a solid understanding of eternity and what our salvation means. As a pastor, one of the most difficult things I go through is to counsel people who are in a very difficult relationship, set of circumstances that look at the moment as though they are impossible to get out of. Obviously, marriage is till death do us part. And so many times women are in a very difficult marriage, and it is a real trial for them. And that's always difficult. You have a single mother who's in a very difficult situation, and maybe she's been divorced and had other issues, and just ongoing ramifications, that's difficult. I've had folks sit on my couch and say, I just got diagnosed with MS. That's difficult. That's a long road. Or Parkinson's. I've had grown men cry, you know, over that. And so these things are things that seem sometimes impossible to navigate. And if we do not think correctly, those circumstances will imprison us and cause us to really despair. Now, her perspective, which I think is extremely important and is very biblical, is that we must look at things from eternity. Now, folks, we live in a culture that does not think eternity. We are temporally focused. I'm talking about even Bible Christianity. The reason we don't value heaven is we're looking for heaven on earth right now. We're looking for circumstances to be just right. And, you know, we have no idea what a good life we do have from a human standpoint. I mean, it's amazing. Even those that don't have a lot still have a good life. I mean, it is the way it is. And so, we just don't think eternity. Every time I get to a funeral, like we just had this last weekend, you can just tell it's a wake-up call to everybody. They haven't been thinking about death. They don't want to think about death. I saw several needy folks, I don't know if they were relatives or what, in the lobby that never could come in. In fact, you could tell they couldn't take the service and they left. And that's not uncommon. We are a culture that has a weird attitude toward death on the one side, and then doesn't want to think about it from our perspective. But that does affect Christians too. And a Christian that walks with God and knows the Word of God does live in light of eternity. And so as we look at some of these situations that seem to hem us in and would humanly imprison us in light of eternity, it's a very short period of time. And the key is not to escape the circumstance. The key is to live with God and obey Him and follow biblical principles through the circumstances, believing that the quality of life is to know the Lord and to accomplish what He wants. And that is a very, very important perspective. A person who is called to some years of suffering, one way or the other, has been entrusted with a very, very special opportunity to grow in the Lord, to accomplish things, to be able to be a blessing to others that they would in no other way be able to do. And many of you ladies can relate to what I'm talking about right here. And so I appreciate her perspective is that we need to realize we've got millions of years ahead. And we cannot allow what seems right now like an impossible situation to take away real Christianity. In fact, we've got to believe that God will take these excruciating long-term situations to actually accomplish His will and do what He wants to do through us. We just had two deaths in our church. Both of these were long-term care situations. And when you're in, of course, we had that with my mother-in-law. When you're in the middle of it, you don't think you're ever going to get out of it, you know. But it's just all-consuming. And then you have all of the withdrawal once it does happen. I mean, it's just, and some of you have been through that. So those are very real situations. And so it's not just resigning yourself to your fate. It is truly rejoicing that you have the Holy Spirit in you, that you are able to serve the Lord, that God is going to meet your needs, that you can have a rich and very productive life, and that that God could work in the situation, but you've got to not be looking at the change in the situation for your good, but for the meeting the need of the person, let's say that you're married to, or the situation that you are in. One of the things that in working with folks that are in a very difficult marriage is they want their spouse to get saved, but a lot of times it's to solve the problem. You know, and that's legitimate. That's legitimate. But it should be primarily they need to go to heaven. You know, they are my responsibility. You may have read the story if you have the book of a lady who had a very difficult and ungodly husband, and 40 years. And many well-meaning people told her that she should get out of that marriage, but she believed the Word of God, so she stayed in it. And she said, "I am so glad, because the year before her husband died, he got saved." 1 Peter 3, that principle worked. And I've seen that kind of things. Honestly, it's amazing what God can do. So we've got to have the right perspective. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, you have wonderful teaching on looking at eternity and not at the temporal things of this earth. And so if you'll look with me, we'll start with verse 16 of chapter 4. For which cause we faint not. And he just listed a bunch of tough things that he's been going through. But though our outward man perish, and it does at times, yet the inward man is renewed when? Day by day, every day, every hour. For our light affliction, and his was not light affliction, which is but for a moment in the light of eternity, 40 years is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And a very, very helpful passage, being renewed day by day in your spirit. Let me just say this. If you are truly walking with the Lord and resting in Him and enjoying fellowship with Him, you're okay, no matter what situation you're in. And I do not say that lightly. And I do not say it lightly because I know how long-term situations can be. But all that we need is the Lord. Romans 8:18 is another a verse that speaks of the matter of eternity. You're familiar with it, 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I remember the first trial that I went through with my son Wayne. Believe it or not, we had a life and death struggle before the brain tumor. And I think the two might be related. He had just turned 1 year of age, and he had a rare blood disorder. He had almost no white blood cells, and it was just a very weird thing. And it was, and other problems, and if it didn't get corrected, he was going to not make it. And I remember Psalm 30, weeping, you know, may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There was a song that speaks of that I would listen to often. And certainly joy did come in the morning. And I don't know if that set up the condition that he had a year and a half later. We don't know. But God miraculously worked. And what's interesting is that the hematologist that worked with us there and that was connected with us a year and a half later is the one that Charles Kimball had in his situation with sickle cell anemia because he had moved to Milwaukee. So God continued to give opportunities for witness. I don't know if he ever actually came to the Lord. I think that he might have. But I thought, you know, if God wants to do that just for one man, it's his right to do that. And so that was amazing to me how the Lord did that. But we need to realize that even if our circumstances do not get corrected, there is an eternity. And that eternity is far more glorious than we can even understand. And so that is an important perspective. The other perspective is that circumstances can change. In other words, we ought to believe that God can do great things. She doesn't cover that because I don't think she wants to take away from her perspective on eternity. And I understand that because that's a big deal. But I think all of us understand theologically that God is able to intervene, like that husband that got saved a year before he died. You know, God can heal, or God may not, and it's a long-term trial. God, I have seen, for instance, with MS, I have seen him put that into stop it for a while, and then it comes back later. I've seen the same thing with Parkinson's. I've seen God work mightily where he has held back cancer. Dr. Marriott, former president of Maranatha, just was at his funeral. He only was given, at the most, 9 months to live, and he lived 6 years. And I love what he said. He said, this is wonderful. I know when I'm going to die, so I can get prepared and really and make the most of my life right now. A very positive way to look at it, you know. Most of us don't want to know, have a death sentence over our head. But, excuse me, but the Lord did that for my mother. She should have only had 3 to 6 months, and she lived 8.5 years, and yet never free from the cancer that she was battling. And yet those were glorious years. And then God does heal. God does work mightily. It happens often. We ought to believe that he would do that. So what I'm saying is we need to accept our circumstances that are long-term in light of eternity, but never give up on what God can do even in the circumstance. So we need the balance on that. All right? All right, let's move to the next one. I just can't take it anymore. Now, nobody here has ever thought that, have they? Is anybody willing to admit you've ever thought that? I have. Okay. I mean, you know, the thought can come across. I mean, it is sort of a normal thing. In fact, probably most of you in one way or the other have said that before. I can't take this anymore. Well, that's actually, if you really believe it, it's a huge lie of Satan to cause you to live in hopelessness and defeat. And circumstances can be such that we just get overwhelmed and want to give up. Now let me take a little rabbit trail that's on target here. We have a few younger mothers, and let me just say this. That's why you want to develop your children to go through hard times, to have a spirit-empowered character, right thought process, not to deal with their selfishness, so that when they come to difficult situations, they don't sag into hopelessness, but instead continue on accomplishing what God wants them to accomplish. And in the midst of an ongoing trial, have a spiritually optimistic view that God's using this and that we'll get through this. Let me just say this, folks. When you start collapsing into hopelessness when a tough situation comes up, you become lethargic, you become more discouraged, and you actually can physically hurt yourself when you allow yourself to do that. The most obvious one is this. When a person is older, or could even be younger, but they're going through a lot of pain and they are having potentially a terminal situation, but it's not necessarily immediate. When that person gives up and just wants to die, guess what happens? They die. Which shows the power, and I'm not this power of positive thinking person, but God did make us that when we look to him and trust him, that we realize that we can handle anything. God will not give us more. He will not test us above that which we are able. The Apostle Paul wrote that. And he will always make a way to escape. And so it's very important that we do not allow ourselves to come into that kind of thinking. Now, again, there are times you just think, I can't go through that again. I can't handle that circumstance again. Believe me, I know what that's like, especially in ministry. Oh, got to handle that again. But you don't say, I can't take it anymore. It's, Lord, you got to take this. I'm really under the pressure. I mean, this is not good. I'm weary. This is hard. This pain going on is very difficult. By the way, when people have ongoing pain, you need to take, when they struggle emotionally, don't get down on them. That's very hard emotionally. But you do need to try to encourage them spiritually. And if some of you face that, don't be thrown if you have an emotional reaction to it, because it can really play on your mind. But But when we just get to that lie, when Satan can get us to just say, I'm giving up, I can't stand it anymore. Now, because of the lack of character and the selfishness and the immaturity of our day, we see some pretty sad things that happen with mothers with little children. Can't take it anymore. Or just some of the normal processes of developing a strong marriage, instead they don't know how to handle it, and what do? They bail, you know. And on you can go. Decisions are made. By the way, never make a decision when you are emotionally down. Everybody hear me? Never, never, never make a life-changing or any kind of important decision when you are emotionally down. Even though it may be legitimate while you're struggling, it still is not a spirit-filled moment. And you want the wisdom of the Spirit of God to enable you at that time. And everybody here has had those moments. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so, and again, in our culture, we do struggle with the self-centered perspective that I deserve better than this. I shouldn't have to go through this. This isn't fair. I fought that. I think I mentioned it even recently here. I fought that when my son had the brain tumor. And then I would be around people with little boys the same age, and I remember distinctly having a car drive right next to me when I rarely went home, but when I went home and I was by myself in the car, and there was this little boy, and he looked a lot like my son, probably about the same age, and he and his dad were having a great time, and for a moment I had that, this isn't fair. Boy, did God deal with me. I can do whatever I want. And I remember just saying through tears, Lord, I submit to you. You can heal him, you can take him, and what you do is right. I know you're working in my life. I accept this. I had to deal with that before I got home. And I had to preach that night to top it all off. You know, sometimes for preachers, it's really good when you have to preach, because you have to deal with things pretty quickly in your life. And God really did. Was good to me at that moment. But we need to understand. And this section here really gets down to it. Our life isn't about us. And that's hard for us to get a hold of, especially in our culture. And of course, in our churches, as is mentioned here, Larry Crabb says, helping people to feel loved and worthwhile has become the central mission of the church. We are learning not to worship God in self-denial and costly service, but to embrace our inner child, heal our memories, overcome addictions, lift our depressions, improve our self-images, establish self-preserving boundaries, substitute self-love for self-hatred, and replace shame with an affirming acceptance of who we are. Recovery from pain is absorbing and an increasing share of the church's energy, and that is alarming. Now, does God want us inwardly healed? Absolutely. But do you see how self-centered that approach is? What is our number one goal as a believer? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We are to make our number one purpose in life to worship Him. And we have to believe that He always works in our best interests. But whether or not it seems at the moment that it's our best interest, He is worthy of our worship. I can just tell you, through life, that is really a key. Lord, use this for your good. I don't like it. You know, it's all right to talk to the Lord. You know, this is not fun, okay, what I'm going through. I remember when some of you may remember Steve Melius. You remember Steve? And he had the first major round of cancer. Then God really answered prayer and had several years in which he was okay. And during that time, I had him help me as we were starting Kettle Moraine Baptist Church in Whitewater. But during that time, he had came back and he died. And my dad had been helping him and had come up several times to be part of all of that. And so he was the one that was there at the church the Sunday after Steve went home to be with the Lord. He was a godly young man. And my dad just stood there for a little while. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. And the people all, you know, hurting. And he said, "Well, first of all, I have to say, I've had a little struggle with the Lord. And I've told him, I really don't like this." You know, and it was such a relief for everybody. Because that's what everybody was thinking. But then he, I don't know how you said it, but he said, "You know, God is God. And he knows exactly what needs to be done. And we can trust him." But he just was very vulnerable, just saying he was struggling with this. And it's all right to talk to the Lord about your struggle with what is happening in your life. But then you've got to come to the place that it isn't about you, it's about him. You'll never, never, never get freedom until your life is about glorifying God. Did you hear me? You'll never get freedom over anything until it's all about him. He does not have to make everything go well for you. Now, let me just say, everything he allows is the best for you and will work out to glorify him and will give you the richness of life. But we have to understand, first and foremost, we need to worship him and give him glory. That's counterintuitive, isn't it? That's just not the normal way we think. Now, down deep, we know that's true. But I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of that, if you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, one more scripture and we'll be finished here. Colossians chapter 1. Read in verse 16. "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And if our desire is that he is glorified and that he is honored, then we can handle these kind of situations. So this is a fairly heavy chapter when you read it, but I appreciate her emphasis on eternity, on honoring God, getting your perspective that way. And though humanly, sure, you can say, "Oh, I can't take it anymore." You got to deal with that pretty quickly. No, you must take it. And for his glory, you've got to take it. And God will give the grace. There is a way to escape. He will step in. There's nothing too hard for him. But we've got to get from what you deserve God to do for you to what you must do for God. And that's a totally different perspective on life. Don't ever get bitter with God. When you get into eternity, you're going to realize how beautifully he has orchestrated your life. Even taking your sin, taking your weaknesses, your failures, and even taking the consequences of those when you started turning to him and working it all for good in your life. What a masterful God. And so we need to live for his glory. So those two points are very, very important. And so I've got to handle my circumstances will never change. They're going to go on forever. No, they're not. No, they're not. On this earth they can change, but even if they don't change on this earth, you're going to live billions of years. So keep that in mind. And then secondly, I can't take it anymore to I will take it. And you will find great depth of blessing. The deepest Christians, those that really do have a consistent walk with the Lord, have handled by the grace of God their trials this way and have found out that Jesus is enough. And it's a wonderful thing. I can tell you that with all confidence. The Bible says it. I know it in working with people all of these years, and I know it in my own life. My God will take care of you, the God of the Bible.